Hello and welcome to Funny Mummies, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian and writer, and I'm blessed with two lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, but also those that are aunties or friends, because, let's be honest, we all need the help of our non-tired mates. Join us as we find the funny side of parenting, life, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day!
Okay, welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. I'm Hattie Ashdown. And of course, joining me before we get to our guests is Gemma Beagley. Gemma Beagley, how
are you? Good afternoon.
She's straight in.
I'm all right.
Two words to sum up how you're feeling today.
Good afternoon. That's it.
I think that pretty much sums up. I'm really excited about today, not just because of our lovely guests, but because this is my social life. This is it. Like, it's not, I mean, I'm not even with you in real life. We're recording this one on Zoom, in case you can't guess. I think they can always guess the quality. It's not as good as we're all in person. But yeah, that's another moan of mine, just lack of social life. But so it's really lovely to see you girls, and let's bring in our guest. So she has 6 solo Edinburgh shows under her sweaty belt, I'm gonna say. she has a radio show on Riverside Radio, and if you ever find yourself in Camden on a Sunday night, be sure to check out her Sunday smash up show at the Camden Head, because I'm not just saying this, and I only say this probably about 2 people in the world. She's one of my favourite comedians, but really, really one of my top 2 favourite MCs.
Yes.
It's Caroline Maybe.
Woohoo! Hey. I'll just give you an example of my MCing. What do you do for a living?
Oh, I'm a cleaner.
Sorry, I'm not interested. There you go.
The dead end MC.
That's really nice. The best. Hello, it's lovely to be here.
Now, Caroline, you've been on, you came on before when we did it for Leicester Comedy Radio. Festival.
The what?
You came on, we did it for Leicester Comedy Festival, but online for Next Up Comedy. We're doing podcasts and stuff through the lockdown. Do you not remember doing that one?
I don't remember anything about lockdown.
We had a lockdown, Caroline. I don't know if you knew, I wasn't on that episode, but I recall a really, really long conversation about favourite way to eat potatoes.
Yes!
With Taylor Glenn. Yes, I remember that.
It was one of my favourites. It was really one of my favourites. We just
tackling all the important issues.
Oh, yes. Okay, so we're going to talk about today. This is slightly inspired by this TikTok video, of course, because, you know, that's where all the latest topical news is. This woman who a video went viral just because she shared a video talking about how she wears her pajamas for about 2-3 days. And some people were like, what are you talking about? And she was like, that's normal, right? So it's partly inspired by that. It's partly inspired by Maria Kondo. We all know Maria Kondo. Yeah.
Marie Kondo.
What have I said?
Maria.
Maria.
Did I say Maria? Yeah. What is it then? Mari?
I think it's Mari.
Marie, yeah, Kondo. So she's had her third child, and she's basically just said, I'll sod it. A bit of mess is all right. She'd rather find spark joy in a cup of tea. So with these two things together, I thought we'd talk about our dirty little secrets to keep clean and tidy. But so let's start with the TikTok woman. Because people were saying, what? That's disgusting. But you're not going to put, surely. I mean, I think I know the answer from you two.
Well,
clean pyjamas every day?
No.
Or not?
No pyjamas at all.
Are you a naked woman?
Yeah. In winter, I wear socks. But you will be horrified. Sometimes, because I don't take my socks off at the end of the day, sometimes I'm still wearing the same socks the following night.
Yeah? Yeah, I'm with that.
Yeah. 3-day socks. Whereas... this woman who's taken her pajamas, she's taken her pajamas off during the day.
Yeah, she's just saying that she was sort of saying, you know, oh, am I just like a kid? Like when she's relating it back to when you're a kid and you have to wear pajamas for a couple of days. And
I think it depends whether you think dirtiness comes from the inside or the outside.
That's deep.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because presumably your bed is clean, so the outside of your pajamas is not getting dirty. It depends how ashamed you are over your bum hole.
I think this is about shame. I agree, Caroline.
Shame about your front bottom.
Yeah. Let's be honest, it is about that area. It's
yeah.
I'll be honest. So with me, it depends.
What do you wear in bed, Hattie? Clarify first.
Pajamas.
What, like a bottoms and a top? Yeah, long sleeves.
I've been trying to, you know, take care of myself and get some nice pajamas, because it did used to be like some scraggy old t-shirt and, you know, odd pajama bottoms. But I'm getting some nice. Yeah, in the summer I might wear a nightie.
Nightie.
But yeah, so I'd say probably my average is about 3 days, and then I'll change them.
You filthy animal.
I know, filthy. Laying in the filth of my nunna.
So am I quite unusual? Because I wear a not a crappy old tee, but a t-shirt, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I wear my knickers that I've been wearing all day. And then in the morning, I get in the shower and the knickers go in the thing. So in terms of nunny stuff,
seems like a clean option. Yeah.
Doesn't it? And I'm surprised, because I wouldn't class myself as a clean person.
Oh my God.
Mind you, the bed sheets might stay on for longer than other people, but I sleep alone. There's no action happening in my bed sheets.
Well, it's not about action, is it? It's just hair and...
Yeah, men and disgusting men.
Skin droppings from other people. You haven't got that.
No, I don't, no.
One of the things I took on, and we'll get to, if anyone, I want to hear you, anybody sort of like little hack, we'll call it a hack rather than a dirty secret or something to just, but you don't, no one really knows that you do this to keep tidy or whatever, or keep house, as they used to say. What do you do to keep house?
I don't invite anyone to my house.
That solves one problem.
Oh, well, actually, the opposite. I invite somebody, then I have to tidy.
It's an incentive, yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's about the only thing that does it. If I'm inviting people around for a meal or something, and I'm thoroughly ashamed. And then my daughter's really, really into tidying. I think I'm your parents, Hattie. I'm
right.
A pile of clothes next to my bed on the chair. She's the one who's ashamed and constantly tidying, and she's like, we'll do this massive, the whole family will do a massive tidy, and then she goes, tell them that you're so sorry, but you haven't had a chance to tidy up yet.
So cute.
It still looks like that. It still looks like, I mean, you know, it's never gonna look, there's just, everything doesn't have a place,
right?
More stuff than space,
right? I think that is just the classic for us all. Well, for me anyway. I don't know if for you, Gemma. You're quite organised. You just haven't got.
I don't have stuff. That's the thing. Is that when I moved, when marriage was ended and moved into my own place, I had a massive clear out, and I was like, and I just don't. So I don't have stuff. And I don't want people to bring stuff into my house. And I'm like, no, I don't want to take it away.
Including themselves.
Well, pretty much, yeah. Take your stuff. I'm goth.
We're at the door with flowers, chocolate. She's like,
I don't mind that stuff, because that stuff will disappear. It's when people find me, here you go, here is a vase. I don't want another vase.
Or a mug or something.
That's brilliant. How did you do the Was it difficult to get rid of all your stuff, or was it?
No,
like...
I just said to my, I actually Marie Kondo, it was that spark and joy. But given that I was leaving my marriage, I was just like, no,
there's no joy.
There's So I just pretty much set fire to the whole house. And what I did as well was, it was like, right, okay, now is not the time to be green and sustainable. Like, I will do that, but now is not the time. So I spent weekends down the tip and just went, no.
So your hack is get a divorce.
Do you know what? It's very cleansing in all ways. There you go. I'm gonna write that book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Life cleanse.
Get divorce, declutter.
declutter your love life.
But I think it's as the Sex Pistols said, anger is an energy. And I think something that happens to you, which, you know, a divorce or a grief or something, can sort of clear your mind.
Unblock,
that's better. So you want to unblock things at home. I was talking about it, because I am obsessed with these sort of declutter programs. I love them. Because we are, it's that reveal thing, isn't it? It's like, there's something, whenever I feel it all tidy, I don't know about you, but I just feel all like this satisfaction.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to pick up tips all the time. And I said to my husband the other day about, so I don't, but not having much stuff. And I was waiting for him to say, yes, you do. And he went, no, you're not too bad. And I was like, oh, that was a massive compliment. Because I do think, since I lost my mum, I had a bit of a like moment. And I don't mean this in a morbid way. It was actually quite life affirming, like looking at her stuff. It was like, it's just stuff. And then like, yeah, some of it's great. And it's really lovely to have some of her stuff that I can look at.
Can I just, it's just occurred to me. Can I do a plug?
Oh yeah. I give you permission.
my employer, a place of work, Soho Theatre, I've got a play on. About a hoarder.
No.
Yeah, called it was at the Fringe. It's come to us now, called Breathless, by Laura Horton, and it's on Tuesday the 7th until Saturday the 18th. Tickets left. So yeah, there you go. If someone's interested in that, there we go. Plug done.
Finally, she's earned her worth on this show. She's found that link.
There you go, it's impromptu as well.
Yeah, oh, that's good. Yeah, see, I don't have any, I don't think I have, but it's one of those things, I don't think I've got any little dirty tricks. Into like, do any of you have a secret cupboard that you sling everything?
My whole house is a secret cupboard. I built a shed, and that is like what you described, but now there's just a pile of stuff by the back door, waiting to go in the shed.
In the shed, right. Yeah.
Is the word in your house like, I'll put it in the shed? Is that the word on the in your house?
Put it in the shed.
Yeah.
And the things that happen is like, if we fix something, the tools don't go back in the toolbox. Oh. And the toolbox doesn't go back in the shed. Everything just sort of like, there's a trail. You can see what has and hasn't been done by all the things just lying around. We like stuff.
I mean, essentially, you know, part of you thinks, does it matter? Do you know what I mean? Like, I guess, does it matter if we all just live in mess? But I guess if you're not, if it's stressing you out anyway.
Yeah, then... of course. And that's the thing. It's how it makes you feel. I remember at work once, my desk was such a mess. It was before, you know, paperless was an idea. And I had a big lever arch file of papers and I didn't have anywhere to put it. So I put it on the bin.
Hi.
Next day came in, obviously folder was not there because it was in the bin essentially. So the cleaner, and it was full of stuff that I needed, like proper important paperwork. I had to jump into the skip and I had to rifle through the skip and I never found it. And my boss gave me such a telling off. And he was just like, look, a consequence of your chaos is this really, you know, so I actually from then on, I pretty much went paperless. I was like, right, no, I don't want paper. So I hate paper in my house, I hate paper on my desk, hate it.
What about apple cores? Do you like apple cores on your desk?
Yeah, I like an apple core. I have an apple core. That's organic material.
I like, there's so much stuff on this desk. Like, oh, actually, I have tidied it this morning, though. But there's an old passport. There's Anusol. This isn't my desk. This is my partner's desk. There's like old iPhone boxes. There's hairband. There's millions of notebooks.
Lots of different sorts of piles in your house, Caroline.
Ha! Ba-bum!
You're listening to the Funny Mummies podcast, the mum meetup you don't have to get dressed for.
I have bought a label maker. I do love, but I've labelled a few things, but I just sort of seem to start and then I'm not able to finish jobs is what
Yeah,
happens.
You need Stacey Solomon to come round.
I would love Stacey Solomon to come round for the week.
That is a brilliant show, isn't
sold
it?
Sold your life out in 7 days.
and then have another baby.
Oh my God.
In The Guardian yesterday, I don't often read an actual paper copy. No, just because it was in front of me and I had nothing to do. They actually had, I counted, 7-page feature on decanting. It's the new thing, decanting.
Decanting?
Basically, taking stuff out of its packaging and putting it in other packaging.
Oh my God. Seven pages
a feature. So there was a woman who had just had a larder and she just, you know, so she'd get this shape pasta and put it into, empty it from the bag because bags are disgusting, and put it into a bit of Tupperware or whatever, and so it's all lined up. I mean, very, very Marie Con, very KonMari method. 7 pages in The Guardian.
Yeah,
I mean, it sounds like they've got too much time on their hands, doesn't it?
No, yeah. You wouldn't know that there was actually other things going on in the world.
yeah, I watch.
There's a program my daughter watches. What's it called on Netflix? Two American women going around. And they're like, tidy up Reese Witherspoon's house or...
Oh, yeah! I'm sorry, that's awful, that programme. Because I love the decluttering ones, but that one I couldn't handle.
No.
It was too white. Everyone was white and privileged and it was just...
I don't know. Not all the people whose houses they go to are white. They're definitely not. But they're very irritating.
Yeah, but they're just irritating and just like a bit too perfect. Yeah. Sorry.
Also, they just do the same thing in everyone's house, and it's just what you described, Gemma, like some boxes on a larder shelf, and they're like, wait, do you see your pantry? Oh my God.
Oh God.
Horrible.
It sounds like a mixture between like Marie Kondo and Through the Keyhole to me. And I'm not here for it.
Oh.
But I wonder why. Yeah, but Marie Kondo was so popular and it did. You know, the whole sort of spark and joy thing did get, you know, so we obviously we are drawn to it. It is
here's a bit of pseudoscience that I've just made up.
Oh,
like we're probably not designed to have stuff, or like, right. So if we get stuff, we're like, oh, this could be useful, I must hold on to this, and then but you just get more and more stuff. So some people obviously don't get so attached, but I mean, I think it is clearly a problem. Hoarding is clearly a problem, and it is probably to do with a paucity of resources in olden times.
Oh,
yeah, and I think, yeah, because we're not kangaroos, we didn't evolve with pockets,
no.
Or,
speak for yourself, yeah, then.
No, okay, we all have,
under this
we all
titty.
Have a small pocket. We have some pocket. But I'm not decanting different shaped bits of pasta into the various bowls.
Wait, I could definitely fit 2 things of spaghetti under my boobs, definitely.
Can you hold them there?
I reckon I could.
What, like an entire packet? An entire packet of linguine?
You know, like the pencil case. Yeah, linguine is what I'm pulling my boobs out. Oh, I'm on YouTube. I saw on the latest episode of Sort Your Life Out. Stacey got very excited about putting some spaghetti in a decanter thing. She's like, oh, that makes me. Yeah, she was like, oh, that makes me so happy. And I get it.
Explain it. What do you mean, get it?
Well, she's taking it out of the packaging and putting it in a proper decanter. I get that. I think it's satisfying. Because it looks nicer.
It doesn't disappear, does it? It doesn't make more space.
It makes it easier to find.
Yes, because they're standing up.
And you see how much of something you've got.
Yes, exactly. It's see-through.
A cupboard with loads of bags of stuff in it. Like, I will very often end up buying the same thing more than once because I don't realise I've
still got some.
But if I had a rice jar there for basmati, every time I buy some basmati, I put it in. I do it with porridge. I don't like pouring porridge from the bag into a bowl. I like pouring it from a jar.
Because it goes everywhere.
Exactly.
Let's talk about something that we love or learn to love.
Tidying.
What was that?
I love tidying. No.
You love tidying. Yeah, we love tidying. Come on. We'll get back to tidying. So I've got a lot more to say about that. But just an intermission. So our new feature, so just to give an example to the listeners the first time. So I'm going to ask Caroline to say something that in parenting that you don't really like or enjoy, but you're going to say
Gemma's
you love it.
Yawning. Gemma's,
I know.
I love this introduction. Sorry.
I love what you're saying. Right
now. Fuck's sake. You can't you can't get the staff. Well, we're going to get to why Gemma's tired in a minute. So, like, last month it was like, oh, I love taking the kids to the park. And I'm really just, I'm feeling hating it myself now. I'm explaining it. Oh, kill me! Anyway, are you up for it, Caroline?
I love making everybody a different meal every dinner time.
Oh!
I just love to please everybody in my house. Because one of them is afraid of tomatoes and eggs, and one of them is a vegetarian. And it's the adult who's afraid of tomatoes.
Right.
And the child who's a vegetarian. So I end up having to make, like, modify recipes twice.
Because tomatoes is in a lot.
I love it because it makes me feel so versatile as a person. I love it. I love burning the one thing because I'm paying attention to the second version of it. I love everything not being cooked quite right, and I love it when nobody comes to get the dishes ready once the food is ready. I love it when I call my daughter to come for her dinner. And I say, it's ready. And then she comes and sees it's not on a plate yet. She goes, well, it's not ready, is it?
I love that too. I love that when my kid does that. So special.
I love it when she looks at what I've made her and goes, no. I'm not having that. Will you eat this? No. Would you eat, you know, so I ask her in advance, would you eat this? No. What about this thing that you really liked last week? No, you've given it to me too many times now. It's because you won't eat anything else. Love it. I love it.
Congratulations.
Mind you, actually, she's now getting really good at cooking herself.
Oh.
She's got really into frozen gyozas, vegetable gyozas. And she has them for breakfast now. So I don't think she's going to like them for much longer. She's having them for nearly every meal.
How do you cook these frozen gyuzes? So
she will cook them for breakfast. She'll just put them in the microwave.
Steam.
But in the evening, she will get a wide based pan, fry them for 4 minutes, and then put 2 tablespoons of water into the pan and put the lid on, cook it for a further 6 minutes. And they will be absolutely delicious.
Sorry, for those of us who are not middle class.
Japanese dumplings.
Ah!
Yeah, I didn't pronounce them properly. Would you know how to pronounce it?
I say gyoza.
Gyoza.
Oh, I love them, but I can never cook them properly. So thanks for that.
Yeah, I used to think it was difficult to cook them, but actually it's not. I mean, it's tedious to make them from scratch. I have done that in the past, and it's just sort of, too much faff. She made a Victoria sponge all by herself the other day.
Oh my god. She is gonna take over the house, so she's gonna
made biscuits just out of banana and porridge.
Shut up.
Banana and oats, right?
Just did they taste nice though?
They taste really nice considering there's no butter or sugar or anything in them. I was amazed, but then I got into trouble because I ate them all.
How dare you enjoy her food?
Oh, so for anyone else listening in real time, we are what some people call coming out of a January slump. I don't know about you, but I feel like more people than ever have just been like, oh God, I hate January. And I've always been like, oh, for God's sake, it's just another month. Do you know what I mean? But I don't know if it's... But do you feel like this, Gemma? Do you feel like, I mean...
Lest we forget January 2021, when we went into a 4,000 year lockdown and it was hell, lockdown 3. And so I have had a wonderful January because it hasn't been in lockdown.
Exactly.
So we need to bloody remember where we were 2 years ago.
I think we're coming out of a 3 year slump rather than just a January slump. Someone said to me the other day that she just suddenly felt like, oh, I haven't got brain fog anymore. And her husband's like, well, how long have you had it? And she's like, yeah, 3 years since the first time she had COVID. And I don't know if I mean, to be honest, I've had brain fog even since before I had my kid. So I don't know. But I feel better. I think January is not helped by having the tax return at the end of it. That is a bit of a burden.
Yes, and I know Gemma, our resident accountant, would agree with you with that. It's been a bit of a hell month.
It doesn't take a month for me to do it, but the last few days of January are a bit hairy.
Do you do it really last minute, Carol?
Every year I pledge to do it. Not.
I have 95 clients who make the same pledge every single year.
Oh no!
Not at all. It's kind of I've come to expect that that's what January's like, and so I kind of have this expectation. So I'm all right with January because I know what it's going to be like.
And do you get paid all of that month?
Yeah, exactly.
So for the rest of the year.
Well, I don't have to do any of that. Yeah, the tax return stuff the rest of the year. Yeah, so January, you know, 1st of February. I love it. I love the 1st of February. Yeah. But I tell you, here's something for you, for the self-employed among us who have to fill out tax returns. I was chatting to an ex-tax inspector online who said that...
this is how she gets her kicks.
Yeah. So they were saying...
Have you told him he's not welcome to come into your house?
Of course. He's saying that 3 Januaries in a row, on like the 30th of January, there was an annual Home Office versus HMRC football match, and that like the office was like no one was answering the phones on like the 30th of January 3 years in a row. It's just absolutely appalling.
Why would they do that?
Yeah,
because it's the civil service.
Care about us.
Getting all
also dust. My partner's birthday is the 27th of January.
Oh, that's the day before payday.
Yeah. Bit passive aggressive. And 2 of my nieces are in January. There's a lot of, like, this, you've had it by 25th of December, you don't want to be buying any more presents.
I see. I don't, in past years, I've been that person that I felt like, oh, fresh new year, get a new diary, get a new pencil case. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a fresh new year. Really not an annoying positive person, but you know, mildly. But I felt like this year I felt a bit of a, like you say, maybe it was just the slump of the last 3 years just completely catching up on me, and probably my perimenopause. But let's not even go there. But I still seem to go there nearly every episode, Caroline. For anyone who needs to know, if you're over 45 and you're having any of the symptoms, you don't even have to have a blood test. You can just go to the doctor and say you're having these symptoms.
And get HRT.
Yeah, which is where I'm going to go next. I've been trying other alternatives and it's not working. I'm well, just grumpy.
What alternative? Hang on, what alternatives?
I told you I'm on the combined peel.
Oh yeah, we had that big old chat about
Yeah, we had that big old chat about it. I think nearly every episode it comes up. But regulars love it.
What are your symptoms? Who loves it?
I said the regular listeners are like, oh, here she goes. She's talking about
combined peel, here she goes.
What are your symptoms?
But I would love to know if anyone else is listening, please let me know if you're taking the combined pill because it's got estrogen in it, if that has helped for you, because that was something I read that could help. I thought I'd try that first. But I'm just feeling, I just feel so much rage still. The rage is not going. And
is the rage the symptom?
The rage was my very first symptom that made me go, I need to go to the doctors. And there was other little things, but that was like number one. And just... yeah.
See, I think I've always had the rage as well. It's easy to attribute your personality to
perimenopausal personality. Please welcome to the stage.
You're a very nice person.
I know. I think
I've always been fretful, confused, angry, easily stressed out, hot. Very wacky when I'm hungry. All of those things.
I mean, it's like every comedian who's now ADHD.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, tell me a comedian who isn't. I think we've all got it if you're a comedian.
We're all peri ADHD.
Yeah.
I mean, the qualities of ADHD that people describe, I can attribute those to myself, but I don't actually think I am ADHD. And same with menopause. But you could probably give me any medical condition and I would go, yeah, that's me.
I'll go, yeah, I've got a bit. I'll have a bit of that.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't really want to admit I'm not ready. I'm not ready to, like, psychologically embrace the change.
Oh, I think, personally, I think the actual stopping of those lovely monthlies is probably quite way off, but... you can have the flipping perimenopause for about 10 years, apparently.
Actually, I think maybe one of my reasons why I just not really engaging with it is because when I went to acupuncture a few years ago after I had a miscarriage and someone had recommended her. Like I had this, even though I hadn't intended to get pregnant, once I got pregnant and got used to the idea of having the baby, then I lost the pregnancy, I felt this really strong need to correct it.
Yeah, of course.
And I really, really, really wanted to get pregnant again. And I was recommended this acupuncturist and she wanted me to give up coffee, sugar, dairy, gluten and alcohol. It's my personality.
Yeah.
So it was never going to happen. Yeah. But and also the acupuncture itself didn't do anything. I had no reaction to the acupuncture, but I really enjoyed going there and having her attention. She was a lovely person and I talked through stuff with her. And what I did get in the end was the realisation that I didn't really want to get pregnant. And I think I've really, even though... nothing physical that she ever did to me had any effect on my body. I've really internalized this one piece of information.
That's what she said.
But it's just she was seeing it as it was like it's just another marketing ploy.
Right.
I just think it's all what for me and Caroline said, it's just all very negative, 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 negative. And actually, you know, you hear this kind of like, you know, one in four of us will, you know, lose our minds. And it's like, okay, but three out of four of us don't. So
that's pretty good going.
You know,
what's one in every four? Let them lose their minds.
God, no, you can't say it's not real because I don't know what I count my rage to.
It's the being a woman in this patriarchal society.
Yeah.
With two kids.
You're trying to do a podcast, Hattie. I know, look at me doing this podcast, working so hard. But what there was, I should keep up. This is topical. they tried to pass something, didn't they, in government to do with menopause, and it didn't get passed. What was it?
A protected characteristic.
Yeah, what's that?
So it was like in the workplace.
Not that they were going to research. I thought it didn't get passed, that they were going to research.
That you couldn't discriminate against a person because they were menopausal, but then it was seen to be discriminatory in itself.
To men. That was it. Yeah, they said it was discriminating against men.
That's insane.
That is insane. That was it.
That doesn't make any sense. Surely any protected characteristic is... The point of it is that it's different from other.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh no, come on. Let's not protect Muslims because of the non-Muslims. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, we're going to start wrapping up then.
Debunked the menopause doesn't exist, by the way.
Oh no, the hate that's going to come back because that perimenopause online is a strong contingent.
Is it?
But it's not being negative. It's just giving you the... Oh God, I sound like a salesperson. It's giving you the tools to be able to deal with what's coming.
Yeah. I mean, whatever each person needs to navigate their way through these rocky shoals that we find. Yeah,
we all just need a woman who's going to stick some pins in us and talk to us.
Which is why I've unfollowed Davina now. I've unfollowed her. I don't care. Go away. Get off my feed. I'm not interested in you and your flat stomach.
Oh, no, but the flat stomach's a bit much, isn't it?
It's too much.
It's got so...
And she also, every single video starts with her out of breath. Like, hi, good morning.
She said something about this. She said she does it on purpose to sort of show, she's real and not... Perfect.
She's active.
Yeah, real. Maybe I should come on this podcast out of breath.
You do.
No, you're right.
What does she do? She's on about menopause.
She's boxing.
She's doing this thing called Own Your Goals or something, and then like, so she does a little bit of exercise every day, different types, dancing, kickboxing, whatever. So we're like 10-15 minutes. But yeah, she's sort of showing these anyway. And she's got a menopause book out as well. But God, all we've done is slag off like specialists.
She's just the menopause influencers. It's just this new kind of genre of influencer. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh God, it's just, you know, if you're having a hard time, I feel for you, son.
Yeah.
But
you're just a denier, Gemma,
Look, I know it's coming. I just think that it's just not going to be... It's just that I just find it a little bit scaremongery, that's all.
I don't know. I don't know. I think I've had all of these symptoms forever, and I can't have been perimenopausal since I was 11. Can I?
Oh, Davina will probably, I don't know, it depends. It would find.
I mean, it's hard because I could say my rage has got, like when there was a pinnacle moment where I basically shouted, I'm so embarrassed about this, but I keep telling people on live things, shouted at one of my kids at the school gate in front of loads of parents. And I didn't know, it was like an out-of-body experience, Caroline. Mm. I didn't know where it came from. And I was so embarrassed. Oh, I could cry, actually, just talking about it. And it was a moment where I just went, what is going on with me? But you could aside go, maybe it's just 7 years of no sleep that's built up.
Obviously, the meaning of the word menopause... It just means that your menstruation has stopped, and it's the arbitrary length of time is a year. So once it's like the absence of something. It isn't really, and that's presumably because it's been named by men who don't really care what happens to women's bodies.
Gemma's nodding, everybody.
It hasn't really been. It hasn't. it's not understood. So there's plenty of room for snake oil salespeople.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. It needs research.
But also there's plenty, like that it is real. Obviously all this stuff is real, but everyone's body is different as well. So it's so that some of the symptoms that are attributed to perimenopause can also be symptoms of something else. And it's really important to be able aware that,
yeah,
not disregard those possibilities.
Right. Yeah.
I think, but yeah, it is a real bum fight, isn't it? And I guess what I was trying to say about like just the absence of menstruation isn't really the thing. It's like it's not like it just stops and then you're a different person. Mm. It's a process that happens over a number of years.
Yeah.
And anyway, it probably does start, like you just start declining your egg, it's not production, is it?
Harvester.
Have you been to a harvester before?
This will be the second conversation I've had about harvester this weekend. Egg production, yeah.
Well, they're there, aren't they? You've got a limited number.
Depletion.
Do you produce them? Oh, I don't know.
Aren't you actually born with all your eggs?
You shit them out. No.
What? Okay.
No, release, whatever. But you know, you peak at some point early on and then gradually it declines and then it declines further in different ways. So it isn't just like
Everybody's different. Thank God. Otherwise it would be boring. So we're wrap up.
I just prefer to think I've got glandular fever than menopause.
That is a symptom.
Actually. Okay. We'll just leave it, ladies. You're just deniers. It's fine. We'll leave it there. So if you're struggling out there with tidying and cleaning, so are we.
Don't come to us for menopause advice.
Don't come to us.
For cleaning advice or menopause advice.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Caroline.
Being absolutely filthy is fending off the menopause somehow. My question.
Wait, that's your question or that's your solution?
Both. Right. Do you think just like not washing? No.
But that's the stereotype, isn't it? Oh, that mad old woman with the beard and she's not washed for years is menopausing. I feel like that.
She's menopausing.
That is the stereotype, isn't it? Oh, anyway. On that note, Caroline, thank you so much
Thank you, yeah.
Is there anything you want to big up? When is your Sunday club?
I have to clarify, it's not every Sunday, it's only the third Sunday of the month.
I was going
to
ask which Sunday, but there is a comedy every Sunday there, isn't there, Camden?
There's comedy most nights, but you'd be a fool not to come to mine.
Yeah, yours is the best one.
Yeah, so the next one is the 19th of February and then the 19th of March.
Lovely.
and actually my radio show is on hiatus.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because once I got my puppy, she wouldn't let me leave the house.
Oh.
So it became really difficult to, and then I was doing the radio show during lockdown and afterwards, and it was really a wonderful thing to keep me buoyant and also all my listeners.
Yes, of course.
Quite a lot of extra work, but there is an archive of all of those, and they're, what's great about those shows is it's all music by female vocalists, and I found loads of artists that I didn't know before, and so I have Spotify playlists as well with all of those, so you can get the old shows with Riverside Radio Mixcloud. Or look on my website, you'll be able to find them.
Okay, I can see Gemma
myself.
I can see Gemma smiling because she wants to say, did you have women that were menopausing special? Anyway, we've got to stop it.
They were just shouting. They were just shouting, not singing.
Do please keep listening and subscribing. It's the only way people find us. If you subscribe us, more people find us. Leave us nice comments, because I really need it. It's the only way I can get out of bed for the day.
Gemma, do you need to get out of bed, Hattie?
I can't get out of bed unless I've read a nice
you
review.
You need to get out of bed.
Oh, that's true.
Especially not if you don't want to change your pyjamas.
Yeah. Kabam!
Me again, just to give you a quick reminder that my show The Worry Draw will be on for the last time at the Leicester Comedy Festival on Sunday the 19th of February, 8 o'clock, at the Big Difference venue, which is on the High Street in Leicester. You can go to the Leicester website to get a ticket. They're only £5. I mean, what can you get with £5 these days? Oh yeah, that's right, a ticket to my show. I'd absolutely love to see you there. Thank you, kids, for shouting. It'd be the end of half term. You'll deserve a laugh. Today's show, thank you so much to our guest Caroline Mabey, and the show was edited by Scott Kingsnorth.
Coming!